Morning. Great songs. I love songs that teach us these truths about God, Christ, the love of Christ. We have a great passage to look at this morning, and it's in Romans 8. If you have a Bible, you can follow along. Second half of Romans chapter 8. So we're looking at an ancient text this morning. This has been around for a long time. At Bethel, we think the Bible is worth reading, trying to understand, and we believe that it speaks to us today. Even though it's thousands of years old, we believe that the message has been faithfully transmitted, and now in 2018, we can pick up several different English translations of the Bible and still get that message, still understand. If you were to compare the New Testament original Greek manuscripts, the oldest and most reliable that we could possibly come up with now, there's a lot more comparable Greek manuscripts of other writings like Plato and Homer. Compares very well. All that to say, this is reliable, and I could talk quite a bit more about that, but we're here to look at the Word of God. We believe it is the Word of God. People like Paul spoke with the help of the Holy Spirit and wrote these things down so that believers in Jesus could come years, decades, centuries later and read this, get the message. And so we're working through the book of Romans. We're in the second half of chapter 8. And as you read along with me, you'll look at some things that you may have remembered from last Sunday that sort of tie in some words that we heard last Sunday that show up in today's passage. If you were with us a little earlier this morning, we had the benefit of hearing our brother John read from 1 Corinthians 15. And the verse there says, "Thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christians are winning. Let's read this together. I'll read from the NIV. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined and conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Great passage, full of really good verses, phrases, thoughts, ideas, true jewels, and that any one of us could spend a lot of time studying this, going deep into it and understanding it. I'm going to suggest and go over a few things and suggest we're talking about, in this passage, Christians are winning, and it's through Jesus that Christians are winning. That's the main idea this morning. Christians are winning, and it's not everyone, because it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that we sang earlier, men who refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, something like that. And so there, if we take the phrase, refuse to pray, don't come to Christ, there's going to be trouble. They're not going to win. Christians are going to win. And it doesn't always seem like they're winning. And so we have the word sufferings comes up in verse 18. And it came up last week in verse 17. It talks about us sharing in his sufferings, in Christ's sufferings. And then he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So there may be some suffering. There may be some struggle. In fact, there will be. And of course, for Paul, there was lots of suffering and struggle. Even though he was a Christian, he was a believer in Jesus, he was a disciple, he was an apostle. But he says in verse 36, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. So Paul was actually quite close to death a number of times in his ministry as an apostle. So it didn't seem like he was winning a lot of the time. Peter says, 1 Peter 4, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. So even bearing the name of a Christian and sort of being counted as a Christian may result in some type of persecution or suffering. It's quite possible. And Paul actually says to Timothy, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's kind of inevitable, right? That sort of comes with it. Nobody should hopefully become a Christian thinking that their life is going to be smooth sailing, be floating along on flowery beds of ease for the rest of their life. That's not what God promises to believers. He does promise is that we'll be saved. What he does promise is that we are forgiven. That's the important stuff. So we're winning, but it doesn't always seem like we're going to be suffering. If we're not suffering, we should ask at least a little bit. We should maybe ask why, and perhaps I need to ask myself. It's a challenge to me. Am I bearing the name of a Christian? I am a Christian. Am I bearing that name? Is the love of God that we've been singing about overflowing in my life enough that other people will notice? Are the words coming out of my mouth something that'll show that I'm a Christian? And if they are, there may be a backlash, there may be a negative reaction, there may be persecution. That's okay. And I need to, how about you? I need to make sure that I'm bearing that name, living a godly life in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't always seem like we're winning because we're suffering at times. But the Holy Spirit is on our side. And it's interesting, we're suffering. A creation is suffering. It's sort of, Paul talks about creation almost as if creation is a person. The creation waits in eager expectation. Creation was subjected to frustration. So creation itself, creation got cursed because Adam got cursed. It says, not by its own choice. It's almost like creation is a person. But by the will of the one who subjected it, the creation itself will be liberated, in verse 21, from from its bondage. It's suffering frustration, suffering bondage, decay, bondage to decay, and brought into the glorious freedom. So creation is suffering. The whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth. And so it's interesting that creation is groaning in verse 22. In verse 23, we're groaning inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. And then in verse 26, the Spirit helps us. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is on our side. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. And how does the Spirit help us? The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. So the Spirit directly intercedes with God the Father on our behalf. So the Spirit is on our side. The Spirit speaks to God the Father in ways we can't possibly do, we aren't able to. And it actually talks about the example of praying. And it says, we don't really know a lot of times what to pray for, but the Spirit knows what to pray for. The Spirit knows what to ask God the Father for, and He will. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. We'd like to pray and ask God and to pray in God's will. Sometimes we're not 100% sure that we are. Am I asking for something that God actually wants? The Spirit guaranteed to ask for something that God wants. Guaranteed. And so I don't know if you that pray and ask for things, ask on behalf of other people, have kind of wonder, what should I be praying for this person? What does this person need? I know I appreciate times as an elder praying with the other elders. We have some dedicated prayer meetings where the meeting is for praying. The elders get together and we pray. We take our little address book, Bethel, and we go through. We go through all name by name and we pray for people, and this person comes up and we pray for them. We pray for the next person. We pray. And sometimes when I'm praying with these brothers, I'm thinking about this person, this brother or the sister that we're praying for, and I'm not sure what I should be praying. I'm praying that God will give them wisdom and whatever they need. I'm praying that God will encourage them to take steps of faith. I'm praying that this brother will perhaps be a good husband, perhaps be a good father. I pray that this brother will take spiritual leadership in his family. And I'm praying that this sister will consider the importance of Christian fellowship. I'm praying for all of these things. And I'm hoping, as I'm praying these things, that this brother or sister that I'm praying for will at some level want to move forward, at some level wants these things as well. If I'm asking God to give them something, they don't want it. So I want the Holy Spirit to fill in the blanks. I want the Holy Spirit to help me to pray. I want the Holy Spirit to intercede, and that's what God promises here. The Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. That's one way that the Holy Spirit is on our side. He intercedes and helps us pray. He intercedes for us to God the Father. Christians are winning, even if it doesn't seem like it. The Holy Spirit is on our side. God the Father is on our side, I think, as we find out in verse 28. Wow, these verses are amazing. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. God the Father is on our side. How does he work? How has He worked? It says He foreknew. He foreknew us. Those God foreknew, He also predestined. Foreknew. What does foreknew mean? God foreknew us. This has happened. He knew in advance. He knew in advance that knowledge, and He knew we were going to win. I think of knowing in advance. I don't know how many of you have ever played chess and you try and know in advance a little bit. I have a couple boys that started to learn how to play chess, and first they have to learn what each piece can do, how they move and how they capture other pieces. And then they have to learn how to do like a proper chess opening, because if you don't do a proper chess opening, you're in a weak position. And I actually played chess with my little brother. The last few times, he's mostly beaten me. And that's okay. But I'm supposed to be smarter than him. So I don't know what... He shouldn't be beating me that much. I think maybe he plays online a little more, so he's got a little more experience. And so I was helping my boys get started and helping them opening. And I occasionally watch a few little YouTube clips on how to play chess a little better. And it's interesting how some of these really good chess players, they, of course, they plan moves in advance. And they can see, oh, this the other guy is black's going to do this. And so that's his best move, and so I can do this. And they'll be in a position where he says, I'm winning. But it doesn't look necessarily like he's winning. But he knows from his position that he's winning. God foreknew that we'd be winning. Those he foreknew, he also predestined. What's predestined? Predestined is decided in advance. He decided in advance. Foreknew is he knew in advance. Predestined is he decided in advance. Those he predestined, he also called. Pretty straightforward. Called, invited, summoned. Have we been called? He called us. Hopefully we respond. Those he called, he justified. Do you believe that you've been justified? What's justified? Justified means rendered righteous. Some people say justified in the Bible means just as if I'd never sinned. Rendered righteous. He has justified. That's an amazing thought in itself. He has justified us. It's a done deal. Those he justified, he also glorified. Anybody in the room feel glorified? Anybody in the room look glorified? Not really. Interesting, isn't it? That he would say that in past tense. God has glorified. It's amazing that that would be the case. But it's in the past tense. Glorified did honor to. Commentator James Denny says this is the most daring verse in the Bible. We have been glorified. Most Christians, we look forward to being glorified because we're still in this body that's going to see death. But it's so sure of a thing that God says it's a done deal. He has glorified. It's a done deal. It's amazing. So we're winning. Christians are winning, even though it doesn't seem like it because we're suffering. But we're winning because the Holy Spirit's on our side. The Father is on our side. He works for the good of those who love him. And it doesn't matter who's against us if God is for us, does it? It doesn't matter who's against us if God is for us. If God has given us his Son, he's given us everything of value. If God has given us the most valuable thing, the most valuable person in the universe, he's really given us everything of value. Paul phrases it this way, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If God has given us his son, he's given us everything of value. It doesn't matter what we're charged with if God has justified us. It doesn't matter what we are charged with if God has justified us. Anything. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified. So Paul phrases it, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Doesn't matter what we're charged with if God has justified us. So the Father is on our side. He works for the good of those who love him. Doesn't matter who's against us if God is for us. If God has given us his Son, he's given us everything of value. It doesn't matter what we're charged with if God has justified us. God the Father is on our side. Jesus is on our side. So that means we're winning. We can't be condemned if Jesus has already died for us. We can't be condemned if Jesus has already died for us. Anything that we've done that is worthy of condemnation. We've all sinned, and so we fall under judgment. But Jesus has died for us. So we can't be condemned if Jesus has already died for us. Paul says, who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So we can't be condemned if Jesus himself is interceding before God on our behalf. We get in trouble with the law. We need a lawyer. It'd be nice to have a good one. A lot of us, of course, lawyers get a bad reputation. Boy, some of them will do just about anything to win their case, even if it seems like it's for a bad person. We don't like sometimes those lawyers because the bad people get in trouble for what they do. But if we're needing a lawyer, boy, it sure would be good to have like a lawyer that just is, you know, like a shark, fights on our behalf. And so, in a sense, Jesus is our lawyer. He's interceding on our behalf. It doesn't get any better. You can't possibly get a better lawyer. You can't possibly get someone better interceding on your behalf before the judge. We can't be condemned if Jesus himself is interceding before God on our behalf. So we're winning, even if it doesn't always seem like it, because we're suffering. The Holy Spirit is on our side. God the Father is on our side. Jesus is on our side. And we can't expect to always look like we're winning, like we were saying. Because when Jesus was on the cross, paying for our sins, it didn't seem like he was winning to a lot of people. In fact, his main enemies thought they were winning. Think of the chief priests, who he spoke against quite a bit, very pointedly. When Jesus was on the cross, they thought they were winning, and so they'd say stuff like, "There he is. He saved others, but he can't save himself." So they thought they were winning, but Jesus was winning. He died, but then he conquered death. It didn't look like he was winning when he died, but he did conquer death. So he turns out to be the winner. So we, all believers, like everybody else, have an appointment with death, but Christians don't have an appointment with the second death. And if you read in the book of Revelation, it talks about the second death. So the first death, yes, is ours to look forward to, but the second death isn't. That's the word death means separation in some ways. The body is separated from the spirit. Death is separation. Second death is separation from God. And so we don't have, as Christians, the second death to look forward to. We don't have that separation. What is going to separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we're winning. Christians are winning. My life is hid with Christ on high, we were singing. So nothing, as we close, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Unending love, amazing grace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for that promise. And as bad as things look at times in this world, as bad as Christians are persecuted, as bad as we suffer at times, we thank you for the truth that we're winning through Jesus. Thank you for that we are more than conquerors. We thank you for Jesus our Lord who paid for it all. So please encourage us with these thoughts. Please encourage us with this truth as believers. Please encourage those that haven't taken that step of belief in Christ to want to be on the winning side. Please encourage them through your Spirit to be convicted of the need to be on the winning side. And those that are believers, please help us to bear that name. Please help us to speak the truth in your will. May the Holy Spirit help us. May the Holy Spirit give us what we need. May the Holy Spirit speak on our behalf. We can be stronger so that we can bear the name of Jesus as we should. So we ask your encouragement and we ask for your blessing as we part now in Christ's name.